Before I get started, I'd like to pray for us, if we might. Our Father God, I come before you, Lord. I lift you up, give you the praise and the glory, Lord. And I invite you to be here with us today, Lord, to convict each of us as you would have us convicted, Lord. That it would be your lips that are speaking, your ears that are hearing, Lord. Just be here as a comforter as we get into this message, Lord. Be here as a guide, Lord. Be here, Lord, to dry tears if there happens to be a tear, Lord. Lord Jesus, we love you, we trust you, and we thank you so much for coming here to die for us, Lord. In your name we pray. And with that, I'd like to start out by talking about Christmas, right? We just celebrated Christmas. I mean, it was so much fun here on Christmas Eve. I mean, they had the piñatas down there, and the kids were swinging. Even Charles back there, we didn't have to put a blindfold on him because all you all know, he's blind. And Larry, too, you know, and they're out there doing this. And they even got Pastor Bob out there, and Miss Ann got out there, and Lisa got out there. And, I mean, it was just a great time. And the guy that was pulling the string on the piñata, right, oh, and he was just having a great time. He was laughing. And he'd take that and he'd set that down, and that piñata would be sitting on the ground, and they're going like this. See? Uh-oh. I mean, it was just fun. It was just fun. And, you know, and that's what we think Christianity is sometimes, is fun. And we celebrated the birth of Christ, and it's a good feeling, and it's a happy feeling. And like last night, we were playing the Sparkle, and we were all laughing and having a good time as Christians. With no booze, no drinking, none of that. You know, we're having a good time. And we think sometimes as Christians, and as Christians, when we talk to other people that aren't Christians, we give them the impression that, hey, man, this is just us, euphoric all the time. And we just have a great time. Just have a great time. But I'm going to talk to you today about something that maybe isn't so great. Because Jesus said this. He said something different than a good time. Let me see. Whoop, too soon. Okay, well, Pastor Bob got me mixed up here on that. But that's okay. But he said this. He said in Luke 12, 51 and 53, he said this. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. Isn't that interesting? No, not peace, but division. From now on, there will be five in one family, divided against each other, three against two, and two against three. They will be divided father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. That doesn't sound like very much fun being a Christian, does it? It's like, oh man, why do I want that? Oh, I must have done that by accident. Okay, sorry. But the title of this sermon is What's Next? And it's the war. It's the war. Because we are fighting a war as Christians. And I know a little something about war because I've been involved in one. I was a combat marine. And a war isn't just one battle. It's a whole bunch of battles. It's a whole bunch of battles. And that's what happens when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We step into a war. And it's tough. And it's hard. And it is... It's not, and sometimes we think it's like this, father against son. And so we think it's a physical war sometimes because it affects us and it affects the people we love. And it's like, oh, and it feels so bad. But it's different than that. It is, I don't know what we got here. Oh, I'm going backwards, no wonder. All right, I'm sorry. Here we go. It is a spiritual war. It is a spiritual battle that affects us physically. that affects the people around us and such. And it's hard to understand. And I want to, and that's what I'm going to talk to you about today. Because in Ephesians 6 through 10, it says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Now, I'm not going to talk about the armor today. All right? You've all heard about the armor of God, the helmet and the boots and all that. But I'm not going to talk about that today because I want to talk about this. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. And in this verse before, it feels like it is, doesn't it? Father against son, son against father, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law. It feels like it's a physical battle. But it's not. The Bible tells us, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. You're probably all wondering, where are you going, Pastor Dave? Well, I had to set this up because today's sermon is kind of a testimony and a sermon combined. Many of you don't know this, many of you do, but I have been in this battle since November 2nd or something to that effect. I said the war has many battles, and I've been through many of them. I've been through many of them with the Lord but I want to share this recent one with you. I wasn't planning on coming out here until maybe February. I was going to stay home and spend Christmas with my family. I was going to stay home in the cold January weather to watch my grandkids play basketball. And I have a son that is a homosexual, to set this up. And in Minnesota this year for the election, they had on the ballot to make the amendment in Minnesota to the Constitution that marriage would be between one man and one woman. And of course, my son was against that. So my middle son comes to me and says, Dad, David needs to know that you're going to vote against that amendment. Otherwise, he's not going to have anything to do with you ever again. And he said, for that matter, neither am I, or my daughter, or my daughter-in-law, or my grandchildren. So there I was, faced with this battle. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, it did not feel like a spiritual battle. It didn't feel that way. And I had some decisions to make. And I want to, and what I want to talk to you about, and I'm going to go back to my little struggle here, back and forth, but I want to share with you what this battle is about. Some of the tactics of the enemy. Some of the things that happens in a battle. In a real battle, in a physical battle, but in the spiritual battle. And the devil has all these schemes to do against us. And I'm just going to tell you that before you were a Christian, you weren't in this battle. Because he didn't care about you. He already had you. But when you stepped into this, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, not for pleasures and not for money and not for all that, but for salvation. That's why you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's why we accept him. Because we want to spend eternity with him. And we can step out of all this nonsense. But in the meantime, we're in that nonsense. The first thing, and this is on your... I'm going to have to get here now. The first thing the enemy wants to do, this is on your notes, the first thing he wants to isolate us. And that's part of the battle plan. He wants to get us isolated by ourselves. And that's what he did to me. I moved to Minneapolis to be closer to my two sons, and things were going great. And all of a sudden, I don't know anybody over there. I'm not real active in the church yet. And all of a sudden, boom, I'm all by myself. Nobody. And I'll tell you this. I'll tell you some more of the story, but I didn't hear anything from any of my children or anybody until after Thanksgiving. I was isolated. Now, you may be going through a battle today with your spouse or with your children or with somebody at work, or, you know, there's all kinds of things that we go through a battle with. And God wants to help us through that battle, but the devil, he wants to keep us over here all by ourselves in the dark. He wants to keep us over here. And he wants to tell you, feel sorry for yourself. That's one of the things that keeps us here. Oh, well, you know, if she wouldn't have said that, if he wouldn't have done that, you know, if I wouldn't have gotten fired, and it wasn't my fault I got fired, it was the boss's fault because he doesn't know what he's doing. He only started the business, and I've only been there. But you see how we can get into that? I was feeling sorry for myself. I was feeling sorry for myself. Sometimes the devil isolates us with our own feelings, with our own thoughts. The other thing that keeps you isolated from everybody is our pride. Well, hey, I don't care. I'm right, and that's just the way it is. And I don't care what anybody else thinks. I'm going to stand over here in the corner, and you know what? Me and God will take care of it, but I'm going to tell you right now, it's not you and God, it's you and the devil that's got it. And he'll hang on to you, and he'll keep saying to you, hang on to that pride, my friend, because that's all you got. That's all you got. You see, when God, what God wants us to do is he wants us to fellowship. When we're in a battle, he doesn't want us isolated. He said, where two or more gather, I am there with you. So when we go off all by ourselves, there we are. And I'm going, yep, me and God, me and God's got this. And every time I talk to God about it, it comes out the same exact way that I am right. And the world is wrong. The devil likes to isolate us. And he likes to keep us there. Because if he can isolate us and keep us in our self-pity and keep us in our pride, he can keep us down. And he can keep us as ineffective Christians by doing that. Isolation. And in the real war, when you're fighting a real war, that's the same thing you like to do to the enemy. Isolate them, keep them from all their supplies. You can go in and kill them. And that's what the devil wants to do. We become stubborn in our isolation. It is the greatest in all the struggles I've had, in all the battles that I've fought since I've been a Christian, that is the ugliest one. That isolation. Because it is lonely. And I was lonely in my house, my new beautiful house with a fireplace and the snow outside. And my kids would come over for dinner sometimes. Sometimes my grandson would just stop by and say, how's it going, Grandpa? And it was all gone. But I didn't sit there and I didn't feel sorry for myself for very long. My pride, I didn't really have much pride, I'll tell you. But I did reach out to my Christian brothers. And I did reach out to my Christian pastors. And it was interesting because I talked to my pastor back there and he said, that's interesting, David. You know, he says, we have some friends and they have a son that's gay. And they wanted to take us out to dinner. And they took us out to dinner and they wanted us to do the same thing. So sometimes the spiritual attack isn't just on one person. Sometimes it can come into the whole church. It can come in. And it's dangerous. And if we allow, because we allow it, if we allow the devil, we allow it. Remember that we allow him. to isolate us because of our pride and our self-pity. So if you're in pride today and you're in self-pity today, I'm just going to tell you, get out of it. Man up, or woman up, whatever it might be. Seek help. Talk to your Christian brothers and sisters. Be honest. Don't be self-conscious. When I seek people, when I get into these battles, I'll tell you what, I don't seek people that are going to say, oh, yeah, David, you're right. Oh, yeah, David, you're right. Because that's our propensity. That's what we want to do. We want people to agree with us. That's that self-pity thing. That's that pride thing. We can't go talk to somebody that's going to say, oh, you know what? You're being like an idiot. I seek those kinds of people because I've been through the battle many times, and I know that I have to seek the person that's going to be honest with me. And honesty isn't always fun, is it? Christ said, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring division. That's pretty honest, isn't it? Now, he knows what we would have loved to hear. Yeah, come to me and know everything's going to be good. We're just going to have a joyous time, and you're never going to have a problem, and everything's going to be smooth. And I mean, it's not real. We live in a fallen world, folks. And we're going to battle. We're going to battle. The second thing the enemy wants us to question God in our relationship with Him. Now, I'm going to tell you, I went through that. And I'm going to share I went through that because, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, all right, God, what's the deal with this? I've been ministering to people ever since I've been a Christian almost. And I've cried, and I've hurt, and I've had successes, not me, God. And I've seen failures, not me, and not God's failure, but that person's failure. And I'm struggling with God. And I'm going, God, come on, what's the deal with this? I thought we had a relationship here. Look at all these people that you've used me to help. And I can't help my own kids? And you're not going to help me with my kids? What is the deal with that, God? And you might be going through that today too, with the struggle that you're in today, whatever it might be. You might be going, God, what is the deal? I've been following you for years. I pray to you. I do this. I give money. I do this and I do that. See that self-pity coming in? See how we begin to feel sorry for ourselves, and through that self-pity, we begin to argue with God, and we begin to question our relationship with Him. And that's the other thing that the enemy likes us to do, doesn't he? He doesn't want you to count on God. He wants you to count on yourself, because he knows that in yourself, you're going to fail. He knows that. He knows that. And we walk right into it. We walk right over into the darkness and we go, yeah, you're right, devil. You know what? Yeah. And isn't that what happened to Adam and Eve? Oh, you can have it much better. Just take a bite of this fruit. And you're gonna be just like God. But they failed because they didn't trust God. And that's what that is about. That's what this is about. When the enemy wants you to question God and our relationship with Him, he wants us to doubt God. He wants us to doubt it. And you may be in something today and you're doing that. And it's hard. I'm not saying these battles are easy. They're not supposed to be easy. How can God teach us anything if He puts us in a battle that's a piece of cake? Huh? I mean, you can't learn anything like that. We have to go through these struggles. Because through these struggles, and I'll get into that a little, we become more confident in God. We begin to trust Him more. And then when we come into these battles like this, we have something to hang on to. But the devil doesn't want you to. He wants you to do this. He wants you to question God and your relationship with Him. And he wants us to blame God, just like Adam and Eve. Adam said, well, that woman you sent me, if you wouldn't have sent me that woman, I wouldn't have done this. Come on. Pity. Self-pity. Oh, I feel so sorry for myself. I shouldn't be going through this, God. What's the deal with that? Come on. Give me a break. Come on. Man up. Woman up. Okay, the other thing. Let's see. I'm sorry. I got a little carried away there. All right, number three. The number three thing. The enemy wants us to run away rather than face our battle. Isn't that the easy thing to do? And I want to tell you, I thought about that. Seriously. Now, you might think I'm here because I ran away, but I'm not. And I'll tell you why I'm here when I get a little closer. But after about 2.5-3 weeks, not hearing a thing from my kids, they didn't answer the phone. They wanted nothing to do with me. My son said that, my gay son said that I would be on my deathbed regretting that I didn't do what they wanted me to do. And my son told me that. I told my son, I said, no, you know what, Mike? Because my gay son, he didn't get treated right. I'm not gonna get into all that, but I told him, I already regret it. I already regret it. I don't have to be on my deathbed to regret my failures. I don't need that. I'm a Christian. And God has pointed those out to me. He's forgiven me. But it doesn't mean that I can't regret it. There's a lot of things I've regretted in my life. I called my realtor. And I haven't called him back yet. And I told him that I was going to be leaving. And when I come back this spring, because I was planning on staying for a long time, the point of going back. And I told him, I think I want to put my house up for sale when I get back. What's the point of staying? I was going to run away. Running away from our problems sometimes seems like the easy thing to do. That's probably why the divorce rate in the church is so high. It's probably why out of wed pregnancies are so high in the church. We want to run away from stuff. We don't want to. We know what God says about things, but we don't want to do it. We'd rather run away because it's easy. I mean, yeah, you know, I was thinking about my kids, and I'm thinking, well, all right, if that's the way they want it, then, you know, I mean, what can I do? What can I do? So what's the point of hanging around? What's the point of being around and knowing they're just up the road, and I can't go to Vinny's basketball games or his football games or Chase's hockey games? I can't. I mean, what's the point? See that self-pity? See that self-pity? You see that self-pity? That self-pity. That pride. Because there was some pride in that too. And the hardest thing that I've ever had to do in walking with the Lord is whenever I'm in a battle like this, I always want to look at the other person and figure out, what can I do to fix them? Because I'm okay. You see? But as long as I focus on my kids and I try to figure out how I can fix them, I'm not looking at God. And I'm not asking God, what can you do to fix me? Because I'm the one that he needs to fix, not them. I mean, yeah, sure, someday I hope he fixes them. But right now in this battle, I have to be fixed. I can't focus on them. If I focus on them, then God can't do anything with me. And I'm going to share with you what he's done for me through this battle. But we're all in the battle. At some point in time, if you have truly accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are in this battle at some point. And it doesn't matter that we go into the battle. It's how we respond to that battle. And if we respond to that battle with a bunch of self-pity and pride, then we're going to lose every single time. Because God can't work with us. If you're not interested in what God has to say to you, then he's going to go, well, okay. Because he can't get through to you. You got to open your hearts, folks. You got to listen to God. You got to recognize what the enemy is doing. You have to recognize it. You got to get out of that self-pity. You got to get out of that pride. Killers. Killers. Now, there's nothing I like better than feeling sorry for myself. And the fourth thing the enemy wants us to do is abandon God. Isn't that what he wants? He doesn't want you walking with God, does he? He doesn't want you to get through this struggle. He wants to destroy us. The Bible says he's like a roaring lion looking out there to devour us and kill us and abandon God. And I'm going to tell you, this is battle that I've been through is one of the toughest ones. If I cry, that's how it is. Because you see, I had a choice. I had a choice. I had a choice between my kids and God. It would have been easy to say, yeah, I'm going to do that. No problem. Would have been the easy way out. But that's the next thing that the enemy wants to do. That's the next thing on his strategy, is to get us to abandon God, even after everything he's done for us. And isn't it amazing how we come to the Lord when we're in a battle and the Lord fixes us? He goes, okay, here, let me help you out with that. And we go, okay, all right, thanks, God. And then we go, and then we start going into some stuff and we're going, oh, wait a minute now. Come on now. I mean, what happened to all those good feelings? Well, if you're not going to give me that, then I don't need you. Now, how God rolls, as the kids say. He doesn't roll that way. He rolls a different way. He puts us, I take that back. He allows us to go into these things. He knows what's going on with me. He knows what's going on with my kid. He knows my struggle. But he wants me to call upon him. He wants me to call upon my brothers and sisters in Christ and work through this thing. And that's what I'm saying to you today in the struggles that you have. Because I'll bet you every single one of you out here have some kind of a struggle that you're going through. Every single one of you. And I'm going to just tell you this. If you're telling me no, then I'm going to question your walk with God. Because God, he can't help us unless we need help. He can't teach us unless we're going through a struggle. He is an awesome God. He is an awesome God. I knew this was going to be heavy. Okay? I knew it was going to be a heavy message and such. But and you wonder, well, why does this happen, right? As Christians, why do these things happen to us, right? Well, you have to understand, my family, they're not born again. I'm a first-generation Christian. 17 years I've been walking with the Lord. And I'm going to tell you that I was a Christian about 6 months when my oldest son came to me and said, Dad, I'm going to leave my wife and my kids and I'm going into the gay community. I thank God so much that I was a Christian. And the hope that I have is my son. I said to my son, well, David, you know, you're my son and I love you. And this is where I get my hope for him. As he said this to me, he said, well, Dad, yeah, but your God won't. Wow. Now, a lot of you are thinking, huh, what's so good about that? Well, I'll tell you what's good about that is the hope that I have is that he acknowledged God. Even in his paganism, he acknowledged God. That gives me hope. for him. It was still painful. It still hurt. But this is another thing that Jesus said in John 15, 18, and 19. If the world hates you, keep in mind, remember this thought, that it hated me first. If you belong to this world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Interesting, isn't it? It's not a message of, ooh, I want to feel good. Although we had a good time over Christmas. We had a good time last night. And isn't that interesting that even through the struggle, I can have fun? See? So I'm not saying that as a Christian and you're going through these battles, you got to be depressed. All that. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about you have to recognize what the enemy is doing. But let me continue on here with my struggle. My son Michael came to me the Friday before the election, and I had to give him and my children an answer the Monday before the election, what I was going to do. And that Friday when he told me, I hadn't heard a word from any of them. So I called my son Michael. I said, Mike, you want to have lunch? He said, okay. So we went to lunch. And we're sitting in this Vietnamese restaurant, and we're discussing it. And I'm not going to get into a whole bunch of stuff here, but one of the things that, you know, my son is, for a better word, he's a far-left liberal, very worldly. Nice guy, great guy, love him dearly. He's a nice guy, he helps people and does all that sort of stuff. And he says, well, Dad, the Constitution is a living document, and it changes with the culture. He said, the Bible's an old document. And it, you know, so I'm hearing this stuff, right? And I said, well, Mike, I said, you know, the Constitution was written by people. The Bible was written by God. And what you're asking me to do is you're asking me to go along with the world and accept the fact that they want to change what God's Word says. You see, there are people out there, even in the churches today, they want to change God's Word to fit their behavior. They want to change God's Word so it fits their sin. They want to change God's Word so that they're more acceptable because they don't want to separate themselves from the world. They want to be able to live in both places. And Jesus said, don't be lukewarm, because if you are, I'm going to vomit you out. We got to be on fire for the Lord. We have to be on fire for Him, you see. So during this conversation with my son, I'm talking to him, and we're sitting at this table, and there's a table right next to us, and there was a guy sitting there, a doctor, because he told me he was a doctor. He got involved in our conversation. And he said, both of them were saying, well, you know, there's these churches, and they think it's okay. They even have homosexual pastors, and there's... you know, I see these preachers on TV, and they talk about this, and they're talking about these Christians that do that and those Christians that do this. And I said, look, I said, if you're looking at the pastor on TV, and if you're looking at me as a Christian, and if you're looking at other people as Christians, then you're looking at the wrong people. Because we're all sinners. And I said, the person you need to be looking at, the person you need to be reading about, is Jesus Christ. Because He's the one that we follow. We're imperfect, but He was perfect. The fascinating thing was, after that conversation, neither one of them said a word. Because you see, their argument isn't with me, it's with God. you see. But the point I want to make in this, and I'm going to be concluding here pretty quick, is this. I don't even know what time it is. So, you know, there are Pastor Bob last week talked about the roads, right? He talked about you know, he had that map up on the screen, you know, and he talked about this is the road to heaven and this is the road to hell. And there's this thing in between. Well, you know, there are two paths in this world. I mean, there are two eternities. Now, there's a whole lot of different faiths out there. There's, you know, Buddhism and all that sort of stuff. But they all lead to the same place. They all lead to hell. You see, Jesus said that the only way to the Father is through Him. And that's why we celebrate Christmas, and that's why we ask people to become Christians. That's why we try to lead them to Christianity, is for their salvation, not for a nice, mushy life. Because if you're giving them that impression, you're giving them the wrong impression. And they're going to walk away. But let me tell you, both places, heaven and hell, they're both all-inclusive. They'll take anybody. The devil will. He'll take whatever. He'll take you however you are. He does not care. He does not care if you say that you're a Christian, but you're not. He doesn't care if you say, yeah, I'm a Christian, but you don't live that way. He doesn't care because he's got you. He's got you. You can say, yeah, I'm a Christian, but I'm going to go drinking, I'm going to go gambling, I'm going to go messing around with other women, and I'm going to be doing this, and I'm going to be going against this word. But I'm a Christian. Devil don't care. He don't care. There are no stipulations to get into hell. And we're all bound there until Christ came along. Now Jesus, he said, for God so loved the world, the whole world, not just part of it, not just this much here, not that much there, but the whole world, all the sinners, for God so loved the whole world that he sent his one and only begotten Son, that whoever should believe in him shall be saved. So God's eternity is all-inclusive as well, isn't it? With one caveat. To get there, you have to accept Jesus Christ and the price that he paid on the cross. You have to accept that. But that isn't the only thing. If you accept that and you accept him, then you have to start trying to live the way he wants you to live. And he doesn't have us live the way he wants us to live because he doesn't love us. He has us do that because he loves us, because he knows that divorce is not something that pleases him. He knows sex out of marriage isn't something that pleases him. He knows that when we go to the casino and we gamble away our paycheck, that doesn't please him. He knows that when we join a gang, that doesn't please him. But you see, we become like the world and we want to change God's word to fit our sin. And that's a problem. That's a problem because that's why my son and this doctor sitting next to him at the other table were saying the things that they were saying, because they were looking at us. You see, they don't have a Bible. All they know about Jesus is what they hear. Oh, yeah, he was a good person. Yep, he was a prophet. Yep, that's it. He was just a good man. I wish I could be as good a man as him. Well, I'm sorry, my friend, but you can't. Because he was perfect. He was perfect. He was perfect. No sin. Imagine that. I can't even imagine living in this world without sin. But he did. Perfect. And we celebrated his birth just the other day. And he came here, was born, was wrapped in that swaddling cloth in the manger as a little tiny baby for one purpose, to die for you and 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 you. And we don't even have the courtesy to follow what he says to do. What a shame. What a shame. You want to come up and play, Lisa? Because I'm gonna close up here, and I'm gonna ask Pastor Paul to come up for prayer if anybody wants some prayer. If anybody is struggling with a battle and they don't know what's next in this war, because it is a war, folks. It is a war, and here's, you know, I wasn't planning on coming out here. And I was planning on staying until February sometime. But I'm going to tell you some now about what God has taught me and how wonderful our God is. Through this struggle, I have gained more clarity in God's Word. I have gained more trust and more confidence in Him than in my past. And I thought I was doing pretty good. But that's what I'm talking about, you know. If I just focused on certain things, then God wouldn't have been able to show me that. And if you're focused on this battle with somebody and you're just focused on them, God can't show you that stuff. He can't show you. Since I've been out here, I've gotten 2 phone calls from my son and 1 from my daughter. Praise God. Praise God, all right? So, being patient is another gift that God gives us. And I had to be patient. Because I knew, even though I'm in this battle, I knew that God was still in charge. And I knew if I stayed faithful to Him, even though I doubted Him, even though I thought about abandoning Him, even through all that, He stayed faithful. But now, I'm going to leave sooner than I was hoping. And I love you all dearly. And you've all helped me a great deal to get through this struggle in my life. But I need to go back, and I'm going to go back sooner than I anticipated because my kids are reaching out. And they may be reaching out with the wrong motivation, but you know, it's like this. You get done with one battle, and you walk right back into another one. And when you do that, when you walk back into that other battle and you call upon God and God helps you through it, you walk right out of it back into the light. And when I was, after I had this conversation with my son, I'm going to stand here in the light to illustrate this. And I went home. And when we walked out of the restaurant, I drove, I told my son, I said, you know, that was kind of nice. We didn't even get angry. He said, oh, no, Dad, I'm angry. I'm angry. I drove him, dropped him off at work, and that's the last I'd heard from him. And I got home, and I was thinking about it, and I was replaying all that in my mind. And it was interesting because God gave me this kind of vision. And I was back at the restaurant. The spiritual battle that we're talking about. I was at home, and I was just praying about it and thinking about it. And all of a sudden, I'm kind of, it sounds weird, I know, but just bear with me. It's kind of like I'm not there, but I'm watching this scene transpire again. And behind my son and this doctor, I could just see these demons egging them on. Right? And I'm standing there, and I'm sitting in my chair in this restaurant, and it's like this. There was this thing around me, and I'm talking about Jesus. And you know what? Those demons shut up. They didn't say another word. They didn't leave. They didn't leave, but they didn't say another word. And I found that so interesting because after I talked about Jesus to these two, they shut up. They didn't say a word. I want to tell you, it is a spiritual battle that comes here and manifests itself physically with the people we love, the people we care for. And so I just want to close in, you know, if you are having a struggle today and you need some prayer, Pastor Paul and I'll come, we'll be up here. and we'll pray for you. If you're going through a struggle, reach out, folks. Don't try and do it alone. Don't let the devil isolate you. Don't let your pride and your self-pity get in the way. Because that's what he likes. That's what the devil likes, is the self-pity and the pride. Because then we stand alone. And he wants us to be alone. So with that, I'm going to pray. And Miss Lisa's going to play the guitar. And Pastor Paul and I'll be up here if anybody wants to come up for prayer. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior for salvation, not for an easy life, but for salvation, come on up and we'll pray for you with that too. Our Father God, we come before you, Lord. We thank you so much for all that you do, Lord. We thank you for the struggles. In the book of James, you say, consider it pure joy that you go through struggles and trials of many kind because it shows perseverance. And Lord, that's what we need is perseverance in the church today, Lord. Lord, help us each to, we each know the direction that we're going that isn't pleasing to you, Lord. And I just ask, Lord, that you would help us each to get into the right direction, Lord. Lord Jesus, we love you so much. We thank you so much for this service. Lord, just whoever needs prayer, Lord, help us to pray with them. Lord Jesus, we love you. And amen. And the service is ended. So Miss Lisa's going to play a little bit. Pastor Paul, I'll be up here if you'd like to have some prayer. We'll pray for you.